The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Kerach. Yikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Kohath ben Levi, Yedosin v'Aviram, b'nei Eliyav, v'ein ben Peles b'nei Ruven. And Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. And Dosin v'Aviram, b'nei Eliyav, sons of Eliyav, v'ein ben Peles b'nei Ruven. V'yakum lifnei Meisha, they stood up against Meisha, v'anoshim b'nei Yisrael, chamishim u'masoyim. And they brought with them 250 people, Nisiyeh Edo. These 250 people were the leaders of the congregation. They were all people of great reputation. They gathered up against Meshe v'Aaron, and they said to them, Rav lochem, ki kol ha'edo kulam kedeshim v'seichem Hashem. Rav lochem, you have so much. Entire congregation is sanctified, and Hashem dwells amongst them. U'madu tishnasu al kahal Hashem. So why have you uplifted yourselves? Why have you taken royalty over the congregation of Hashem? Vayishma Meisha vayipal al ponu. And when Meisha heard this, he fell to the ground. Vayidaber al Kerach ve'al kol ha'adose le'mor. And he said to Kerach and to his entire group, Boker v'yida Hashem es ha'shelei ves ha'kodesh v'hikri ve'lot. In the morning then Hashem will show who belongs to him and who is sanctified and who shall sacrifice to him. And the one that he shall choose will be the one who will sacrifice to him. This is what you shall do. Go take machtes. This is a holder for incense, for a burning incense. Place fire in it. Put an incense lifnei Hashem mochor. And tomorrow, one that Hashem will choose, he will be sanctified. Rav lochem b'nei Levi, you, the children of Levi, you have much. Then Meisha told them, these were Levim, that Hashem has separated you to serve him, and you want also kahuna, you want also the priesthood. L'chein ato v'chol adoscho aneidim al Hashem. Why are you coming to complain against Aaron? And then Meisha sent to call Dosan Vaviram, and they wouldn't come to speak to him. And they said that you have not taken us into a land of milk and honey, and you have brought us to the desert to die, but also you will want to rule over us. Meisha became very angry, and he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not listen to them. Then the Torah tells us, "Vaydaber Hashem al Meisha ve'al Aaron le'mor hibodlu mitecho edos." Hashem came and said to Meisha, "Separate yourself from this congregation." Va'achala isom kiroga, and I will destroy them in 1 minute. And then Meisha prayed to Hashem and said, "Do not destroy everyone." And the Torah continues to tell us that Hashem said, all right, I will only destroy the guilty ones. So vayidaber al ha'edo le'mor, suru no me'al ole anoshim arishoyim elu. Go and separate yourselves from the tents of all of these wicked people. Val tigu b'chol ha'shelohem, do not touch anything that belongs to them, pentisofu b'chol chateisom, lest you will be destroyed together with them. So everybody separated from their tents. Meisha said, "Bezeis teidun ki Hashem shelachani la'aseis is kol ha'maisim ha'ilu ki lo'i milibi." And through this, it will be known that whatever I have done only because of the command of Meisha Rabbeinu, and not because this is something which I made up myself. Im kemeis kol ha'odim yimusun eile uvkudas kol ha'odim yipoked aleihem le'Hashem shelachani. These people will die a death like everyone else dies. Then it will be a sign that Hashem has not sent me. Vim briya yivra Hashem. But if Hashem will create something new, ufotz sadom es piho, and the earth will open its mouth, uvola isom, es kol ha'shelohem, and swallow them up, and everything that belongs to them, Yodu Chaim Sha'ola, and they will go down to their graves alive. Idatem ki niyatzu anoshim eila Hashem. Then you will know that these people have come to stand up against Hashem. And the Torah tells us that as Moshe finished saying this, the land opened up its mouth and swallowed them all up, together Korach and his families, his houses, everything that belonged to Korach. And they went down alive to their graves, and then the land covered them up. And then a fire came from Hashem and destroyed the 250 people who were with Korach. They were coming to be makriv, coming to sacrifice the incense. Let's try to get a little background into what this story is about. The Torah tells us Korach was the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kohos, the son of Levi. In Parshas Va'era, which is in Shmeis Vav, Be'elish Mos B'nei Levi, these are the names of the children of Levi, Lesoldesam, Gershon Kohasu Morari. Levi, one of the sons of Yaakov, he had three sons, Gershon, Kohos, and Morari. Uvenei Kohos, the children of Kohos were four, Amram, Yitzhar, Hebron, and Uziel. Kohos had four children, Amram, Yitzhar, Hebron, and Uziel. Amram, the Torah tells us, was the father of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Korach was the son of Yitzhar. Amram was the oldest son, of course. Yitzhar was the second son. In Parshas Bamidbor, Perek Gimel, Posuk Lamed, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was counting up all of the Levim, there the Torah tells us on the sea, Beis Ov L'mishpachei Sakohosi, Elitzofen Ben Uziel. When he took the family of the Kohosi and he made a prince over them, so he chose Elitzofen Ben Uziel. Now Elitzofen was the son of Uziel. This was the youngest son of Kohos. Kohos had four sons. He had Amram and Yitzhar and Hebron and Uziel. And when he made the prince of the family of Kohos, he took the son of Uziel, which was the youngest. So the Medrash tells us, Rashi brings, that this angered Korach. Korach said that there were four brothers. Amram is the oldest, and I'm the son of the second brother, of Yitzhar. The children of Amram, Moshe became the Melech, the king, and his brother Aaron became the Kohen Gadol. Now when it came to divide the other honors, who should be the Nosi, who should be the prince over all of this family, it should have gone to the son of the next brother in line. It should have gone to the oldest son of Yitzhar. And I'm the oldest son of Yitzhar. Instead, Moshe chose the son of the fourth brother, the son of the youngest brother. And this angered Korach very much. And this, the Medrash tells us, was the reason why he decided to go up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Torah tells us, he took Doson Vaviram, B'nei Eliyav, V'ein Ben Peles B'nei Ruvein. Doson Vaviram he took, and together with other children of Ruvein. And Doson Vaviram, these were two people that appear many times in the Torah. And they were always antagonists, and they were always adversaries of Moshe and Aaron. We find those in Vaviram when Meshach was a young man and he grew up in the palace of Pare. And one day he came out to see how his brothers were doing. And he saw a Mitzri, an Egyptian, strike a Jew, and he killed the Mitzri. The next day he came out and he saw two Jews were fighting. And he tried to stop them. And they said, "Will you kill us also like you killed the Mitzri?" And he found out that they knew about it. So the Chazal tell us, this was Dosan, these were Dosan Vaviram, these two people. And later on, it says that Parai found out about it. The Chazal tell us that Dosan Vaviram went and told Parai. And it was because of this that Moshe Rabbeinu had to leave Mitzrayim and had to flee to Midian. And these two Dosan Vaviram, the Chazal tell us, were the ones who were Haisiru min Amon. That when Kodesh Baruch Hu brought the Mon down in the Midbar, and he told the people that on Shabbos they must not go out to gather up the Mon, they'll receive a double portion Erev Shabbos. Then it states that two people went out, the people went out, and they looked for the Mon, and they tried to gather it up. Or there were those who saved it for the next day, and they weren't allowed to do this. So the Chazal tell us these two people were Dosan Vaviram. So these were old adversaries of Moshe and Aaron. So it wasn't difficult for Korach, if he had a bone of contention, to the first ones he would go to would be Dosan Vaviram. Fact is, it's mentioned in the Sforim that the power of good in Klal Yisrael, of extreme good, was Moshe Aaron. And the power of extreme evil, parallel to that, were Dosan Vaviram. And then he gathered up Aiden Ben Peles, Bnei Reuven, other children of Reuven. He went to Reuven. Rashi brings, why did he go to Reuven? The Kohos, who was from the Levim, they camped around the Mishkun. And their camp was to the south. And the camp of Reuven also was to the south. So the Chazal learned from here, Eile Rosh or Eile Shechinai, that you should not live near a Rosh. These people were Rishoyim, and together they went and they drew in other people from their neighbors who were Reuven. So Eile Rosh or Eile Shechinai. And this is what the Mishnah in Ovis tells us, Harchek Mishochin Rov Al Tiskavil Rosh, that a person must be very careful to keep his distance from wicked people and should not make chaverim with them. The opposite we find that Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun, their camp was near Meshev Aaron. So there the influence of good was upon them. Yehuda was the Melech, Yisachar was Torah, and Zvulun supported the Torah. They were businessmen that used to divide their wealth together with Yisachar, so Yisachar would be able to learn, and they would do the business. Now this influence they learned from Meshev Aaron. They camped near them. By Yekumul Lifnei Meshev Anoshim, Mibnei Yisrael Chamishim Mosayim. And they went and they gathered up 250 people. Nesi'eidu Kriyamayid Anshe Shem. These people went and they gathered up 250 people who were very well known in Klal Yisrael. Now from here we must understand that the 250, as the Torah tells us, Kriye Meir Anshe Shem, people of repute, people of name, of prestige, this means that they were top class people. And Rashi brings, and the Medrash tells us, Reish Nun Roshi Sanhedri Yisoyu. Not only were they top class people, but each one of them was a head of a Sanhedrin. They were great chachomim, wise people, and they were head of the courts. How is it possible that Korach should do this? Should be capable of doing this? Korach himself was a very prestigious person. He came from great Jichus. He was the son of Kohos. And the Medrash tells us he was a great chochem. Medrash here says that he was a very wise person, and he was from the carriers. He was from the carriers of the Aron HaKodesh, because the Torah tells us that the Bnei Kos, the children of Kohos, it was their job to carry the Aron HaKodesh, and he was from the children of Kohos, and he was a very wise and prestigious person. So using his influence, he influenced these people. Then they went up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the question is, with what did he come to start Machlekes with Moshe? And how did he draw these other people into the conflict? It seems that this was a personal battle. He wanted to be the Nosi instead of his cousin, his younger cousin. So this was a personal conflict. So how was he able to draw in 250 heads of the Sanhedrin into his battle? And these were not simple people. So he didn't come to Moshe saying that you chose my cousin to be the prince, I want that position. That would not have given him success with the other people. Came with another complaint altogether. He said, Rav lochem ki chola eidu kulim kedoshim ubeseichem Hashem umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. He came to Moshe and said, why have you elevated yourselves above the kahal Hashem? Why have you elevated yourself above the congregation of the people? But the Medrash tells us, Rashi brings some of it, Hey, Pashas Yudches, Amalei Kolo Eido Kulim Kedeshim, VeKulim Shomu B'Sina Yonechi Hashem Alekecha, UMadu Tisnasu Al Kal Hashem. Why have you made yourselves as the king over Klal Yisrael, and you appointed Aaron as the Kohen, as the Kohen Godel? The entire nation is sanctified. The whole nation heard at Sinai, Anechi Hashem Elokecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, so the first two commandments everyone heard. I am the Lord your God, and you shall not make other gods. This everyone heard. So he said, everyone heard this. Il mole atem shematem levatchem, behem lo yishomu. Yisem aimrim, achshav kulam shomu, madua tisnasu. If you, Moshe, only heard the mitzvahs, and no one else heard, all right, then we should take orders from you. Then we could say that you heard what we didn't hear. Then you could say that you were commanded to make Aaron as the Kohen Godel. But everyone heard. So why do you hold yourself above the other people? Why have you made Aaron into the Kohen Godel when we're all Kahani? We all heard. And then the Torah tells us that evidently his attack was against Aaron, because in the Posuk Yud Aleph, the Torah says, "Ba'aron mahu ki salino alav." Moshe said, why are you coming to complain against Aaron? What did he do that you're complaining against him? So he came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said that we all heard the Torah. We all heard all of the mitzvahs. So why are you elevating yourself above everyone else? The Medrash tells us something else. Medrash says,
Maksiv lemalamino inyan. What is the last parsha that we learned before Parshas Kerach? At the end of Parshas Shalach is the parsha of tzitzis. Voyelachem letzitzis orisem meisoy. That the person should make tzitzis on his garment in order to see them and remember all of the mitzvahs. Ve'osulem tzitzis kofatz korach ve'omel ha'mesha. Kerach came with a talis to Mesha. And he said, talis shekula tchelus, tchelus mahu shetei p'tur mina tzitzis. You have a talis that's all made out of tchelus. The mitzvah is that in our tzitzis, so one of the strands in each corner must be made from tchelus. Tchelus was wool that was dyed a bluish green, that was made from, the dye was made from the blood of a certain creature called the halozin. So yasht mesh ashayla. What happens if you have a talis which is all tchelus? The entire talis is made out of this blue wool. Are you obligated in tzitzis? Chayevus b'tzitzis alay. Do you have to put tzitzis on it or not? Omer Keirach. So Meisha said, Chayevus b'tzitzis. You have to put tzitzis on. Omer Keirach. Tale shekul tchelis ein peteres atzma. Dalet chutim peteres eso. If you have a talis that one strand or four strands of tchelis can fulfill the obligation that you have in it. So if you have a talis that's all tchelis, how much more so should you have fulfilled it, the obligation? Then he asked Meisha another shayla. Bayis mole sforim. If you have a house that's full of sforim, a house that's full of sifrei Torah, ma'o shei potem min ha-mezuzah. Do you have to put a mezuzah in that house or not? So Meisha said, you have to put a mezuzah on. Omale, he answered, Kolateira Kula, Reish Ain Hei Parshu, Sena Pateris Asabais. The entire Torah has 275 parshas. And it does not free the house from the obligation of mezuzah. So Pasha Achashim Mezuzah Pateris Asabais. So how is it possible when you have just one parsha in a mezuzah and that can free the house from its obligation? Omar loy dvori meila leinitz tavis alehem umilipko atabeda. So Keirach says that these are commandments that we were never commanded on. The way Meisha is giving over the Torah is a way we were never commanded on, and he's making up the Torah. Adohu dechsiva yikach Keirach ein vayikach elaloshin pligo. First pasuk of the parsha states vayikach Korach. Korach took, but it doesn't say what he took. It says, Vayikach Keirach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi, Vedosan Bahaviram ben Eilov and Vain ben Peles ben Eiruvin. It says, Keirach took together with the other people, but it doesn't say what they took. So the Medrash says, Loshen Pligo Shalibayd Lochre. He took his heart away from Emunah b'Meisha. Took his heart away from belief in Meisha Rabbeinu. Then the Medrash tells us, Omru Chachomim, Chochem Godel Hoya Keirach. Keirach was a very wise person. Umetuune Oren. He was from the carriers of the Oren. As it states, Levnei Kosan carried the Oren. And when Meisha told him that you must put tzitzis on every garment, even if it's all tchelis. So he went and he made 250 talises of tchelis. And he had all of the people that were in his group put on these talises. By Yakuma lifnei Meisha v'anoshim bnei Yisrael chamishum musayim nusiei dekri ma'id. And they all came before Meisha Rabbeinu to show that such a talis doesn't need tzitzis. Then, Omad Keirach v'osa lehem ishteh. Korach made a big banquet for the 250 people. And they wore the talisim. The Bnei Aaron came, the children of Aaron came to take their matonis, chozer v'sheik. when they made the big banquet, so they had meat, and the deen is that from the meat you must, there were sacrifices, you must give certain portions to the children of Aaron. So when they came to take their portions, he said, who commanded you to take these portions? So they said, Moshe. So he rejected it. He said, Moshe said this. Leidibar amokim kach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said it. So they went to tell Moshe. So what Korach was doing is that he was creating a rebellion. He was creating a rebellion to reject the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is why he said that Kulam Kadesh, we all heard the Torah, and we didn't hear these mitzvahs. Lomatish Nasu, why have you uplifted yourself to play a role where you have heard mitzvahs that we didn't hear? HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells amongst us like you. Why are you stating halachas and stating mitzvahs that these are mitzvahs we never heard and we don't know of? And through this, if he could be destroy Moshe's authority, so with it would go also the appointment of Yitzhar, the appointment of his younger cousin, that also would be destroyed. And he came and he said that why should there be one Kohen Godel? We are all Kodesh. We should all be Kohanim. We are all from the family of Aaron. Therefore, all of us should be. We are all from the family of the Levim. Therefore, we should all be Kohanim, not only Aaron. How was he able to influence these 250 people? If they were Rosh Sanhedrin, they were the head of the Sanhedrin. He used a logic which had a great chokhmah, a great wisdom in it. And that was, why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Torah to one individual? According to everything that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, Moshe received the Torah, not Klal Yisrael. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Torah to one individual? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give Torah to all of Israel. We heard on Sinai whatever he heard. So how can he come now and tell us mitzvahs that we never heard of? When they came and they asked him, why did you choose Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol? What did Moshe answer? He said, Al pi adibur osisi zeh. I did this in accordance to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. We never heard that. When he came to choose the Nasim, who should be the prince of each Shevet, or who should be the prince of each family, Al pi adibur he did it. He did it in accordance to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. But we never heard that. So he came with a very good logic, right, to the Chachmei HaSanhedrin. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Torah to one individual? He gave Torah to Klal Yisrael. So how can Moshe come now and dictate policy to us? And he used the same logic in regards to Aaron. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose one Kohen to serve him when there are many Kohanim? And Hashem dwells amongst all of us. The Medrash uses the Loshon Areini Mevatel as Kol Devarov. I will come now and destroy him completely. This was the plan of Korach. Now, what did Korach want, though, with this tzitzis? Why did he choose tzitzis or mezuzah? The Torah gives us an indication of this because the last parsha was tzitzis. But what did Korach want with this? What did he want to prove? Why did he come with this mitzvah? So the Maral has a beer in this in the Sefer Tferes Yisrael. Sefer Tferes Yisrael, it's Perek Esrim Vishleshim, Perek Chof Gimel. Now it's Perek Chof Beis. Korach held, Be'emes, Korach held, that if you had a garment that was made entirely out of this blue wool, he held it shouldn't be obligated tzitzis. This is what he really held. And he also held that if you had a house full of Sifrei Torah, it really should not be obligated in mezuzah. What was his logic? His logic was, what is the purpose of tzitzis? The Torah tells us, Uri semesai, uschatem es kol mitzvah Hashem, vasi semesam. That when a person will see the tzitzis, so then he will remember all of the mitzvahs, and it will bring him to do the mitzvahs. When he sees, he will remember, and when he remembers, he will do. Now, what will he see that will make him do these mitzvahs? So the Gemara says that when he sees the tzitzis and the tchelus, he will think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malchus Hashem. Because the tchelus was the Emel Yam. Tchelus was the color of the sea. And the Yam is the Emel Shamayim. And the sea is the color of the heavens. And the heavens the heavens are the color of the Kisei Hashem, of the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he sees the tzitzis, the tchelus, then he will remember the throne of Hashem. So the throne of the Hashem, this is Malchus, so this will represent the mitzvahs, the commandments. When you see the king, you become cognizant of the commandments. This is the purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So what happens if you have a talis, which is all blue wool? So it shouldn't be necessary any tzitzis on it. Because when you see the whole talis of blue wool, you will remember the throne of Hashem. So Korach thought truthfully that such a talis would not be obligated tzitzis. Same thing with the house full of a Sifrei Torah. What is the purpose of mezuzah? The Torah says, you shall speak in Torah, you shall speak in the mitzvahs, when you are in your house, and when you go out of your house. When you are in your house, and you shall write these things on the gates of your house. So the purpose of the mezuzah is in order to securely instate in your home Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that you should always be cognizant of the Torah. Therefore he said, and you should always speak of Torah when you are in your house. Therefore he said, you should write the mezuzah on your gates, order that a person should always be cognizant of Torah in his house. So if you have a house which has many Sifrei Torah in the house, so then you have Torah in your house, you're cognizant of Torah in your house. So what do you need mezuzahs for? So Korach thought that such a house would be potter for mezuzah. Such a house would not be obligated in mitzvah mezuzah. This is how Korach truthfully thought. Now, what did he bring this to Moshe for them? If he thought like this, and he thought this was the halacha, so firstly, how did he know Moshe would disagree with him in order that he could start a fight with Moshe Rabbeinu? If he really thought this was the halacha, he should have thought Moshe would agree with him then. And what did this have to do with his case? So the answer is, he thought Moshe would agree with him. And he wanted to bring out a point. The point he wanted to bring out was, if a talus, which is completely made out of blue wool, does not need tzitzis, so then the same is true for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should not therefore find it necessary that there should be one Kohen Godol. Because if you have one strand of tzitzis, and that can bring kedusha, sanctity, to the entire garment. So if the entire garment is sanctified, so how much more so? We see it does not, it's not obligated tzitzis. So the same thing with Klal Yisrael. Since the whole nation is sanctified, they all heard Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they heard the mitzvahs, so why should it be necessary then to have one individual to serve for Klal Yisrael? If one individual can serve for Klal Yisrael, so then certainly if the whole Israel is Kodesh is sanctified, it's not necessary for this one individual. This is what Kerach was going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore he said, what right do you have to choose Aaron and to make him uplifted from the rest of the cloud, from the rest of the tzibur, from the rest of the nation? Just like we find by tzitzis, if you have a garment that's made out of regular wool, all right, then you need tzitzis on it. But if you have a garment that's made out of tchelis, that's made out of this blue wool, so then you won't need any tzitzis. If you would have a nation that never heard the Torah, then you'd have to send a representation for that nation by someone who did hear the Torah. But if you have a nation that heard the Torah itself, so why do you have to send a representative? The whole nation are kahanim. This is what he told Moshe. Now this was in regards to Aaron. Then he told Moshe, the same thing with Torah. If you have a house that has no Torah in it, then you have to put a mezuzah on the door. But if you have a house that has Torah in it, so what do you need a mezuzah on the door for? So the same thing, if you have a nation that never heard Torah, then one person who heard the Torah, he must be its leader. But if you have the entire nation heard the Torah, and the entire nation is on the level of Torah, they all heard at Sinai that Hashem said, I am the Lord your God, and Echa Hashem Elokecha. So then why can one person be its representative? Now the first case that he brought, that was pointed to Aaron. The second case he brought, that was pointed to Moshe. Because it was the task, what was Aaron? What was Aaron's task in Klal Yisrael? Mitzvahs. Because Aaron was the one who would bring all of the sacrifices to Hashem. He would represent the nation in the sacrifices. And tzitzis is for the mitzvahs. As the Torah says, that you should see the tzitzis and you should remember and do all of the mitzvahs. What was Moshe's task? Moshe's task was limud, to teach Torah. He was the one who brought down the Torah and to teach the Torah. So this is mezuzahs. Mezuzahs should be on a person's house in order that there should be Torah in the house. So both of these cases, both of these examples he brought to show that Moshe was wrong. And this is what he had influenced his counterparts from the Sanhedrin. So he said, how is it possible that if you have a nation that is not sanctified, then one person who is sanctified, he will represent it. But if you have a nation that entirely is sanctified, what do they need the representation for? If you have a nation that never heard Torah, so then one individual who heard Torah, he will represent it. Like the mezuzah in the house. But if you have a nation that kulam kadeshim, they all heard the Torah, so then why is it necessary that one person should uplift themselves? Loma tisnasu, why are you uplifting yourself over everyone else? And truthfully, Be'emes is a very strong kasha. They were chachomim. And this was a whole shita, this was a whole theology, a whole school of thought. This was a whole policy. And he went and developed this policy, and he went from person to person. And he said, and Moshe, and he started to speak Loshon Hara against Moshe and against Aaron. They are placing themselves over the tzibur. They act as if the Torah was given to them and no one else. They are taking all the honors for themselves. And they're creating all kind of mitzvahs that we never heard. This was his plan. We can ask ourselves, where lie the fallacy in this? It seems like his policy was very good. His philosophy was very good. So where lie the fallacy in this? So this is what Meisha answered him. He said, you made a mistake. A garment that is completely made out of tcheles, out of blue wool, still needs tzitzis. And a house that is full of Sifrei Torah still needs a mezuzah. Now Korach scoffed at this because he couldn't understand it. But Meisha told him, you're making a mistake. Why? We see that Aaron was uplifted and uplifted and uplifted. Klal Yisrael were separated from the nations. That was one Bechira. One separation. Then, Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, was uplifted again and separated from the rest of Israel. That was the second time. And then, a third time, the Kahanim were separated from the Levim. You see, Aaron was given three Kedushas, three sanctities. First of all, Israel was sanctified from the nations. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that Amavdul ben Yisrael ben Amim. Israel was separated from the nations. Then, a second time, the Levim were separated from Israel. And a third time, the Kahanim were separated from the Levim. And then Aaron was chosen to be the head. Medrash tells us that when Korach came to Meisha with this claim, Meisha said, "Kechulachem machtes, each of you take your incense, all 250 of you, and Aaron will take his incense, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall choose will be his." And the Medrash says, what did Meisha mean by that? Meisha said, we are not like the nations of the world. The nations of the world, they have plenty of kahanim. Many of them can come and serve their idolatries. We are a nation that we have only one Beis HaMikdash, only one altar, and only one Kohen Gadol. Only one can serve. So all of you, take your incense, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose, and the one he chooses, that will be his. The rest will be destroyed. Only one can serve. And why is that? So Meisha said, why is it by tzitzis? If you have a garment that's plain wool, then you need a special tzitzis on it. If you have a garment that's all blue wool, you still need special tzitzis on it. Why? Because the entire garment can never reach the level of sanctity that is demanded from it. In order to reach the sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must have something which is separated from the garment. If you want the garment to be sanctified, then you must take another tzitzis and you must sew it onto the garment, put it onto the garment, and this will sanctify the garment. Remind them of the sea. The sea will remind them of the heavens, and the heavens will remind them of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through this it will bring them to mitzvahs. So we want him to be uplifted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something which is impossible for the entire garment. But we must take something that's separated from the garment. And place it on the garment, and in turn this will bring Kedusha to it. But the entire garment in itself can never reach that madrega, can never reach that level. This is something which is beyond it. Same thing with Klal Yisrael. All of Israel, in its own right, cannot reach the level of Hashem. There must be a representative that is separated. Just like Klal Yisrael is the representative of all of the nations of the world, there must be also a representation within Israel themselves. Now these are the Levim. And the Levim itself, there must be a representation. And these are the Kahanim. And Aaron will be the Kohen Gadol. If you want to reach the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a singular power, then this is something which is impossible for the entire congregation to reach by itself, but only through a representation. And through the representation, then it will bring sanctity to everyone else. Just like we see that if you have a talis and you put on tzitzis, so then it becomes a mitzvah. The same thing Moshe answered them when it comes to the mezuzah in the house. If you have a house and you put mezuzah on it, this will bring sanctity to the house. But the house itself cannot reach the sanctity. You must take something not from the house and put it on the gates, and then it will reach the sanctity. The house itself, even though it is full of Sifrei Torah, this will not bring it to the sanctity. It would be impossible for all of Israel to reach the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by hearing the mitzvahs. There had to be a representative, someone separated from Klal Yisrael, to hear the mitzvahs, to hear the Torah. And then through him, he can bring the Kedusha. He can bring the sanctity into Klal Yisrael. This is what Moshe told him. Now this concept is not an easy concept to understand. And this is actually contrary to the going. That's why Moshe said that we are not like the nations of the world. But by us, we have only one Kohen Gadol. We have only one leader when it came to Torah, when it came to the giving of the Torah. This was through Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why he said, everyone let him take their incense, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose which is his, and the rest will be destroyed. This was the machlekes that Korach had with Moshe. This was the philosophy in which he used, in which they turned around. Now from here we learn several things. One thing we learn is if you have something in its entirety, it is impossible to uplift it in its entirety to the level of Hashem. But rather, there must be a representation which will be mekabel, which will receive that madrega, and then bring it back to that what it's representing. This we see through Aaron. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. He was the Shliach. He would go into the Mishkan, he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would represent Klal Yisrael. Through him going into the most holy parts of the Beis HaMikdosh, then all of Israel could receive this Kedusha. But they themselves could not go in. And this we see through the fact that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, he didn't give it directly to Klal Yisrael, but he gave it through a mediary. He gave it through Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was called Teres Moshe. The Torah was taught to Moshe, and Moshe taught the Torah to Klal Yisrael. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned from the Vilna Gaon that Moshe lived 120 years. Why 120 years?
because the world was created for 6,000 years. And there's a halacha, there's a law, that in Eretz Yisrael, when you grow your crops, so you have to give a portion to the Kohanim. This means a certain portion becomes Kodush and the rest then becomes Chulin. The portion that you give is 1/50. This is the average portion. So just like 1/50 of your crops must be set aside for Kedusha, for sanctity, so also was 1/50 of all of the years of the world set aside for sanctity. And this 1/50 of the 6,000 years that was allocated for the world, which is 120 years, these were the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Trumase Shel Olam. This is what the Vilna Gaon says. Now what does he mean? This halacha that we have, that you must take 1/50 of your crops and set it aside for the Kohanim. Now what does this mean? Does this mean that this becomes Kodesh and the rest not? So what happens to the rest of the crops? Does it affect it or not? We see it does. Because before you give the truma, it is what is known as tevel. It's all inedible. You cannot eat any of the crops before you give the truma. After you give the truma, then the truma may be eaten only by the kahanim. The rest of the crops now are perfected to a state where Yisrael now can eat them. So what principle do we see from here? We see by giving a portion, by giving a certain element, a certain fraction of a whole, of an entity, to an extreme height of Kedusha, that portion will reach that Kedusha, and in turn it will bring Kedusha to the rest. The halacha is you can never give all your crops to Truma. Even if you want to make all your crops Truma, they will not become Truma. And this principle we have in many, many halachas in the Torah. And this is what Korach couldn't understand and what Moshe taught him. The world had to receive a Kedusha. For the entire world to receive the Kedusha of speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hearing the Torah, this would have been impossible. But for a portion of the world to receive this Kedusha and in turn bring this Kedusha back to the entire world, this was the principle that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore he was the Trumashe Shel Olam, he was considered the Truma of the world. This is an important principle that we hear. We can never, as a complete entity, reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather we can apportion a certain fraction or a certain element for that avoda, and in turn this will bring Kedusha to the rest. And this is with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael can never be all Kohanim, like Korach came and wanted to stay. But they can have a Kohen Gadol and in turn bring Kedusha to the rest. All of Klal Yisrael could have never heard the Torah. But in turn, the Torah being given to Moshe Rabbeinu, then Torah could be brought to the rest. This, the reason for this principle is because this goes into the nature of man. Because man is not a spiritual being. He's both a spiritual and a physical being. When man was created, Kodesh Baruch Hu created him from the earth, and also he gave him a neshama. He created him from the world above, and he created him from this world. So he's a mixture. For man to be entirely on an extreme spiritual height, then he would have to divorce himself from this world completely. He would be an angel, he wouldn't be a human being anymore. On the other hand, to be only a physical being, then he wouldn't be a man. So it is the derech, it is the way of man's growth, of his man's spiritual growth, to allocate a certain portion of his powers to extreme avodas Hashem. And in turn, this brings Kedusha to him completely. This was one principle that we learned, and this is the principle that was being debated here. A second principle that we learn from here There's something to be understood here. We said that the reason why Korach decided to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu was because he was jealous over the appointment of a younger cousin to be the prince of the family, of the Bnei Kohosi. He wanted that position. Then on the other hand, we see that the debate was a whole philosophical debate, where he held that Moshe had no right to create mitzvahs, and Moshe had no right to act as if he had heard the Torah and the others did not hear the Torah. So what was it over? And to say that he was merely using this as a guise to cover up his own personal intentions and his own personal jealousies, this is a little shallow, because it seems like he had built a whole philosophy and a whole theology, and he went and he spoke to the 250 Rosh Sanhedrin, and he had convinced them of this, and he came with mitzvahs and kashas and terutzim. So what is the pshat? What is the meaning? From here we learn something also very, very important. There's perhaps a third point that we could interject here. Why was Korach so stubborn here in the Machlekes? You see that he fought all the way to the end, and he didn't retract at all. So the Medrash tells us that he had foreseen. Korach was a very great chacham, and he had foreseen, either through, somehow he had foreseen, maybe it was through Ruach HaKodesh or some other way, he had foreseen that great seed would come from him. That someone would come from him who would be almost as equal as Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what he had foreseen. So he thought, how could he lose? If he would lose, how is it possible that such powers would come from him? And he saw right. Shmuel Hanovi was a descendant of the children of Korach. Shmuel Hanovi. And the Tanakh tells us, and the Chazal tells us, that in many ways Shmuel was almost equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shmuel perhaps was the greatest prophet next to Moshe Rabbeinu. So this was the seed of the Bnei Korach. Except he made a mistake. The mistake was is that he didn't realize that at the last minute his children would do tshuva. And later on, in a later parsha, it says, "Bnei Korach lay most mesu." The children of Korach didn't die, they did tshuva. But Korach himself died. Now here there's another, it seems another element. That the reason why he fought against Moshe Rabbeinu was because he had this vision. How do we correlate all of these things? He came to create a rebellion because of his personal jealousies. He created a rebellion because of a whole deep philosophy. And also he had a vision. So the answer is all three are true. And this is something which is very important for human nature. All three are true, and when you're dealing with individuals, and especially great individuals, then the motives are not shallow. Korach, if he was such a wise person, such a chochem, and if he was so prestigious that he could rub shoulders with 250 heads of Sanhedrin, and if the Medrash can say on him that he was from the Nesei Aaron Habris, and therefore he was a great chochem, he carried the Aaron Habris, and also he was a man of extreme power and wealth too, and he came from the yichus of Kohos was the most prestigious and righteous family of Levi. Says that the greatest position was those who carried the Aron HaKodesh, and this was given to the family of Kohos. From Kohos came Amram, the father of Moshe and Aaron. So he came from such yichus, and he gave. Eventually, he had descendants of such yichus of Shmuel Hanovi. So then we must realize that we're not dealing here with shallow arguments. When he went up against Moshe Rabbeinu, he had believed. He had believed that Moshe was a false representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He believed in this philosophy. He believed that Moshe was a false representative, was a chas v'sholom, a novi sheker, a false prophet. And he believed that a talis made out of tchelis, made out of blue wool, is potter from tzitzis. Didn't have to have tzitzis. And a house full of sifrei Torah wouldn't have to have mezuzahs. And he believed that it was impossible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give Torah to one individual. When kulam shamanum, when we all heard Anechi Hashem Elokecha, we all heard the command of I am the Lord your God. He believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not give Torah to one individual. And he believed sincerely that Moshe was merely promoting his own personal interests and his own family interests. He made himself the king and he chose himself, his brother as the Kohen Gadol. This he believed. And when he saw these visions, that he would have a descendant, the Shmuel Anovi, this added fire, this added clarity, this added strength to his arguments. And therefore he felt he was making a machlekes l'shem shemayim. And he felt that. And if he did not have all of this great wisdom and logic behind him, it would have been impossible for him to persuade 250 of the most prestigious and wisest people in Israel to follow him. So then where was his error? His error was, is what the Chazal tell us, his hasina mekalkeles es hashuah. Sina, hatred, destroys a person's sight. Just like sheichad is ma'aver eini apikim. Just like there's a halacha that a judge is not allowed to take money. Now, the Torah didn't tell us that a judge is not allowed to take money to judge falsely. Because the Torah has already told us hundreds of times that a judge is not allowed to judge falsely. So what is it telling that a judge is not allowed to take a bribe to judge falsely? The Torah tells us that a judge is not allowed to take money to judge truthfully. Why? Shehasheichad ma'aver eini apichim. Because what he will swear is truthful. If he takes money for it, it will not be truthful. He will be blinded to the absolute truth. Many times we have people who have 100% conviction that what they are proposing or what they are the proponents of is 100% true. And they're unchangeable in their views. But they're still being blinded to the truth. And the question is, what is blinding them? What blinded Kerach was his jealousy of the Nesiois of Yitzhar. When his younger cousin was chosen as a prince, this created a hatred in him for Moshe Rabbeinu. Once he had a hatred in for Moshe Rabbeinu, then he went with the greatest wisdom. But it was Asinim Mekalkalesis Ashura, no longer was it Yoshua, no longer was it straight, no longer was it upright and perfect. It was already a deviation. The fact is, there is no doubt that some of your greatest proponents of historical movements in the world, if you'll talk about socialism, or if you'll talk about communism, or if you'll talk about 100 other things, there is no doubt that these people were convinced beyond a doubt that what they were doing was true. They were not merely covering up, using this as a guise for certain personal ambitions. These people were too great for that. We're not talking about small people. They were leaders of nations, powerful leaders. There's no doubt that they were convinced 100% that what they're doing is true. And we have a lot of leaders like that today. We have communal leaders, national leaders, international leaders, that they are convinced what they're doing is true. And here the Torah tells us that even a dayan, even a judge, is not allowed to take money to render a true decision. Because once he takes money, how does he know it's true anymore? The person becomes blinded. It was the jealousy that blinded Korach. But his philosophy and his theology and his convictions, that came with all of his wisdom. The fact is, he wasn't a fool. If he thought that he was not right, how would he stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu? He's a chacham. If he thought that this was not right, so didn't he realize that he would lose? Didn't he realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take Moshe's side? How would he be able to stand up against him? And another thing we learn, that we shouldn't always be darshim simonim. Many times a person gets involved in an undertaking, and as the road gets difficult, he's wondering, should he continue or should he turn back? Many times we darshim a simon. You see a certain sign and you say, oh, this is a sign, I should continue. We shouldn't darshim simonim. Korach did this. When Korach had maybe a little doubt, because he knew he was on a collision course. If he would not be right, he knew he would be destroyed. Then Moshe was right. If Moshe was right, so he's speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They already saw great nisim and niflos, great miracles from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he had any waverings, so he fell back on the fact that he knew that great descendants would come from him. If great descendants would come from him, so this is a proof that he would be victorious. And also, he didn't think he would be victorious if he was lying. He was convinced 100% that he was on the right derech, on the right road. It was his jealousy that led him to that. And it was the signs that kept the boiling point up. This is something for us to learn. That many times we get ogekocht. We get heavily involved in machlekes or in other things. And a person has to search very carefully that is he seeing the facts as they are? Or perhaps there is something that are some personal reason that are coloring the facts and they're not really the way he sees them. These are some of the points that we can learn from this Sedra. Korach brought machlekes, he brought rebellion, and he brought machlekes. And machlekes, especially against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representative, who was the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael. This was the worst possible crime. And this affected Klal Yisrael right in its very soul. Because Klal Yisrael is one, and any dissension breaks that oneness. And this is why the Medrash says right at the beginning of the Parsha, it states, Korach ben Yitzhar, Korach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi, but does not say ben Yaakov. Yaakov, Bikesh Rachmim, Yaakov said, do not mention my name here. Because Yaakov was the source of the oneness of Klal Yisrael, because we all come from Yaakov Avinu. So he was the source of the oneness of Klal Yisrael. And since Korach was coming to destroy this, so Yaakov said, do not mention my name. Moshe was victorious, and the rule was brought back to him. These are some of the points that we learn, and how the Gemara brings, how sonu yamachlekes, how hateful dissension is in Klal Yisrael, that we see all of the ramifications that came from her. We should all be zeicher that there should be shalom b'klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.